Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Well, in the end, it's the Knicks that land Carmelo Anthony from Denver, and Amari Stoudemire happy that he's on hand. Stoudemire, addressing the media today, says the team will be hard to guard now, likes the idea of having that 1-2 punch.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Good morning, good morning. Uptown, baby. Uptown. All right, we're back on The Fan after midnight. It is now April 29th. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. The New York Knicks have the opportunity to dead that series. 7:30 p.m., game 5 in the Garden. Take their will early. They're going to be pissed off. They're the Pistons. All right, that joke didn't land. It was like a Sean Morash joke, like a pun. They're going to be pissed off. They're the Pistons. They've been pissed on. The refs pissed on them. They're going to be pissed off. Pissed on, pissed off. The Pistons are coming in mad, though. They feel like they should have won. They feel like they were robbed. They feel like it was blatant. They feel like they were cheated. The refs did come out and say it should have been a foul. Whatever. So the Knicks can't play with their food here. It can't be like the first two games in the Garden where you let them get a lead. You let them really have, you know, belief. You got to come out and put your foot on the throat and end the series. And the Knicks crowd, the Knicks fans will just get louder, louder, stronger, and stronger. And J.B. Bickerstaff will use up all his challenges, and we'll see what Cade Cunningham is really about. Is he the best player in the series? Stop that. I remember getting on The Fan and saying the Knicks have two all-star starters, and Cade Cunningham is the best player in the series. What has he done? What has he proven? What playoff battles has he been in? Anyway, you know, I thought it was funny. I was watching the game, and I was half watching the Lakers game, and I thought about J.B. Bickerstaff not having his challenge late in the game, but Chris Finch of the Timberwolves had his challenge late in the game to challenge that foul on Bron Bron with Ant-Man, and that's coaching. He's a good coach. So it's going to come down to coaching, and man, all you got to do is win one game. So the Knicks got to throw everything at him. If it's not working, if Brunson's got to be a facilitator, facilitate. We've seen him do that. If Brunson's just got to get to the hoop, if he's getting the calls and scoring the buckets, close him out. Do that. The get-in price for Knicks Pistons Game 5 in New York is $423 on TickPick. I saw that this morning or last, you know, yesterday. Yesterday morning. It's now Tuesday. It's the most expensive first-round game of the playoffs, and it should be. This is New York, so congrats to you. If you're heading out there, man, you got to do things to get fans to head out there. Look at the Knicks. They made the right trades. They signed the right players. They said, to hell with the draft. Well, the Giants couldn't do that. The Giants needed this draft. And my phrase was, okay, last year, you hit on a lot of rookies, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll and company, you know. You got to do it again. You got to do it again. It's got to be back-to-back years. Brandon Brown, forget who else was over there. Hard Knocks. The embarrassment of Hard Knocks. You got to come back from that. You got to come back from, you know, I'm going to lose a lot of sleep if Saquon goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, bam. The Giants have drafted their next great running back from Arizona State. I don't know if he's going to wear number 4, but I know he can score. Cam Scataboo. But I just think the boo is going to be, there's too much booing going on here in New York. I think scat, and he wears the scat chain. I like his game, bro. This is a kid that came out and said he's the best running back in the country. This is a kid that really had to grind to get his respect. This is a kid, like, when they drafted him, the tears in his eyes, people online were saying, oh, this guy's ready to die for the Giants. This guy is going to give everything to the New York Giants. You team him up with Tyrone Tracy? That's a great 1-2 punch. Hell, I'm running Tyrone Tracy early in the game. And then here comes Cam Scataboo. When your legs are getting heavy, when you're getting a little tired, when you don't want to tackle anybody, here comes the bowling ball. Damian in Middletown on the Fan to talk Giants draft first. Thanks for holding, Damian. You got it.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good.
So we're coming back from my mom's funeral. We've had season tickets for 63 years for the Giants. I got my oldest who stayed up with me. We still got an hour, 45 left. Do you think that Joe Shane and Daboll kept their job for one more year, getting Dart to sit for a year and having Wilson play? I know you love Cam and Scataboo, but do you think they get another year now?
First off, condolences and prayers up for your family. And thank you for, you know, making me and my show and WFAN a part of this night and calling and waiting. And you know, I appreciate it. And I feel sorry, you know, that you had to go through that. I've been there, but, like, I feel honored that, you know, I could bring some light and some joy and we can talk about the Giants. And, yeah, I don't think it's a matter of, like, saving their job for a year. I think this is John Mara saying, I'm locked in with these guys, and they got to prove it. The first step in proving it is bringing in a certain type of player. Last week I was saying I'm really interested to see the type of caliber player that the Jets bring in, but it's obvious the type of player that the Giants brought in this time around. Like, I think it was Bobby Skinner from Talking Giants, well, now Giants Nation Pod, and he said it. He's like, these guys are a bunch of lunatics. You got Abdul Carter, who asked...
Freak
on the field. Can't be blocked. He's coming off that edge too fast and too strong. Nobody's stopping him. Once he really gets going and gets his bearings in the NFL, he might be the next, like, Micah Parsons type.
That's exactly who I think he is. That's his comparison.
And you love that because you could have had Micah Parsons so many years ago and obviously he fell to the Cowboys, but you get a mulligan here with a young guy that's like... Like, this kid is from Philly, grew up in Philly. He's a hard-nosed kid. He asked Lawrence Taylor, the first thing he said to Micah, because they're Penn State guys, is like, we got to have a conversation. He had the gall. He had the audacity to ask Lawrence Taylor for 56. You got to be a psychopath doing that. You're going to actually get on the phone with LT, and that's the first thing you ask that man? I'm like, different. This kid is cut from a different color. He thinks he's him.
Yeah.
He thinks he has the caliber to be Lawrence Taylor. Good. I like that kind of confidence. Come on down. And then trade him back in to get Jackson Dart. He's another one. Jackson Dart.
He's a slinger. And by the way, Joe Shane's, his parents live around the corner from my dad down in Calabash. Joe Shane's son's going to start it at my alma mater, Don Bosco, next year. He's going to be the QB.
Oh, really?
He's a slinger. Yeah.
Wow. I
just announced it.
No, I had no idea. I had no idea his son played.
Yeah.
I knew his son was a good GM.
The starting quarterback.
His son was leaking the Jackson Dart highlight film the day before the draft.
Yeah.
But Jackson Dart is a kid who is a competitor. He's a kid who, like you said, is a gunslinger, and he's tough. He runs the ball, and in that Gruden interview, he told Gruden he likes to be plus two. Gruden's like, what the hell does that mean? He's like, I'd like to get hit and fall forward, plus two, 2 yards. And Gruden's like, are you crazy? In the NFL, you better get your ass out of bounds, or you better get down. He's going to learn, but you know what the biggest thing about him is? He is willing to learn. And we're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders in a minute, but everything I heard about Jackson Dart is, in their meetings with the Giants, he aced it compared to Shedeur Sanders. And Brian Dable has been at Alabama. He's been with Josh Allen. He's now been here with the Giants with a bunch of different quarterbacks. He's seen guys that have the physical skills. He said, this kid's got the fastball, which he does. He's got the arm. He's got the athleticism. He's got the moxie, but he's coachable. He will take the coaching. And you know what they're set up to do? Coach him for a whole year. He gets to redshirt for a year with the Giants. On top of all the ties from Ole Miss and him breaking Eli Manning's records, like, they traded back in to get this kid. And I was live on air, and I said, you know what? You have to do that. There were some rumors about the Rams wanting him. But you know what? If that's the guy that you locked in on, you can't let anyone else have him. You have to go get him, and you can't rest on your laurels and say, oh, he'll be there tomorrow. You don't know that. We didn't know who would be there. So good on them saying, all right, what, the second and conditional third or whatever they gave up, it doesn't matter because we needed to take a swing on a quarterback finally, and finally we found a guy that we felt like was worth taking a swing on.
I agree, and I can't wait to see Neighbors, you know, not this year necessarily, next year, just him throwing the ball up to him and him just going again.
But even this year, with Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston, their arm talent, their ability to read defenses and how they throw the ball, it's going to be way above what we saw from Daniel Jones and Drew Locke and Tim Boyle and Tommy DeVito. Like those
guys. Tommy DeVito's a Bosco guy, though, all right?
Yeah, no disrespect to Tommy DeVito. And I put on for the Jersey guy, and I love the story. But I'm talking about the caliber of NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Malik Nabers is a number one receiver. I look at him as having the ability to be the next Jamar Chase type. Jamar Chase is the best receiver, highest paid receiver, triple crown winner, and that's who he looks like. If they can get in some type of rhythm where, you know, they get a rapport and they get the timing down, whether it's him and Russ or him and Jameis, this kid's going to get open. And this is a kid, when you throw him the ball, he doesn't want to go down. He's a game breaker. So I think if you can consistently target him and run the offense through him, and then you have Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scataboo, and like, I just think they're going to be able to finally compete. And if the defense can hold them to some points, the offense is going to start to look like an NFL offense where you can steal some games. They had to do this with the strength of schedule that they're going to face. They had to do this with the longest odds. Those odds should change now. Those odds should change a little bit now.
Yeah, and I think Jackson Dart will learn from Wilson and from Jameis, you know, being in that room and understanding the NFL culture and how to navigate.
Of course,
two pros
to watch and see how these guys go about their business and how they prepare. And what I hear about Jackson Dart is he's a first guy in the building, last guy out. That at Ole Miss, they had rules. In college, they have rules. 10:30 p.m., you got to leave. They literally,
I know.
They're pushing this kid out of the building. Like, you got to go. Like, you can't be here. We got to shut the football facilities down for the night. You got to go to your apartment or go to the library, something. You can't be here. He's a football guy. He's coming from under Lane Kiffin. I know there's so much talk about how they dumbed the offense down, but so what? I hate when people act like this stuff is rocket science.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to learn Dable's offense and his system, and there are intangible things that, like, once you know what you're doing, the athleticism comes into play. That takes over. Obviously, first, you got to know the mental aspect of it, but you can't teach speed. You can't teach arm strength. You can't teach, you know, juking a guy out of his shoes. You can't teach some of those type of things.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. It really did pick us up here in the last hour and a half drive back.
Good, because, you know, for the first time in a long time, I'm looking at my friends that are Giants fans. I'm like, you're winning right now. You won the first day of the draft, and I'm going to start talking about now the kids that they added after. It's like they went out and added a certain kind of player, and that is going to lift the entire locker room.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for the call, guys. Have a good night. Damian, I appreciate it. Again, prayers and condolences to you and your family. I just know what those funeral days and nights are like. It's heavy. It's tough. And you just want to break out of that nightmare. And anything that you can get that brings you some joy and some light in your reality that's not dark like that. I've been there a few times. I don't look forward to the next one. 888-808-1019. I'm trying to find Bobby Skinner's comments because the way he summed it up about these players on Twitter, it was hilarious. And the tweet went off, and he's obviously a huge Giant guy and obviously someone that's been covering the team like crazy. You know, he broke off from John Boy Media and Talking Giants, and he started his Giants Nation show, and it just shows you how quickly he was able to build that. I'm like, Talking Giants is this guy. And some inside baseball. I don't know. I think I said this on The Fan. Once upon a time, some many moons ago, over 5 years ago, when John Boy Media wasn't what you know of it now, you know, Bobby and I had connected and we started Talking Nets, the Nets podcast that I ended up, you know, shutting down, but I made it popular and I ran with it and did some things. But man, the first like month of episodes were me and Bobby Skinner talking about the Brooklyn Nets. Bobby being a New Jersey Nets fan, me being a New Jersey Nets fan, trying to just start something else. I was doing the Yankee stuff and doing some social media content with John Boy, and Bobby was doing Talking Giants, and we started up Talking Nets, and you know, him being down in Florida, I forget, we just weren't able to time it up enough. I started really pushing the gas on the Nets podcast under John Boy. He started really putting his foot on the gas for the Giants podcast, and Talking Giants blew up. And, I mean, I ended up leaving John Boy in 2021 to come here. And he stayed for all these years building Talking Giants, and they pretty much, you know, gave him an offer that he could 100% refuse, and he left. But I'm happy for him that he's doing well. I can't find the tweet, but I was in touch with Bobby recently. I'm like, bro, I got to bring you on to talk Giants, but I'm not going to ask you to come on at, you know, 12:18 a.m., 888-808-1019. But basically the line that Bobby had was like that these guys are lunatics, talking about, you know, Darius Alexander. Like, if you're a Giants fan and you haven't typed in Darius Alexander yet to look at some of his highlights and how this big man plays, ooh, this is a big man that can boogie. This is a guy that when he gets loose on the field, he is different. I don't care that he went to Toledo. Quinyon Mitchell went to Toledo. He is going to be a problem in year one on that defensive line right next to Sexy Dexy. There was a clip of him taking one to the house where I'm like, okay, he can run. I think they were talking about big man moving. He's slippery on the line, pause. But like, what I mean is, like, for a big fella, he's not stuck in the mud. He's moving pretty well. And that defensive line is already, we haven't even seen them all together. That defensive line of the Giants is already their calling card. That defensive line of the Giants is already their identity. He had a quote. He said, I love taking my opponent's will and just watching them go to the sideline and know what to say to the coach and not know what to say to the coach. Like, when they get beat and the coach is yelling and screaming, what the hell happened on that play? What'd you do? You didn't block number nine. I don't know, coach. He was there, then he wasn't. Coach, I had him, and then he slipped by me. And yeah, Darius Alexander out of Toledo. Big man on the line wearing number nine. I don't know if he's going to wear number nine with the Giants. I just see him being plugged into that defensive line that already has Dexter Lawrence. In the offseason, added Chauncey Golston. 2 years ago, added Brian Burns. You draft Abdul Carter. Those boys are coming. Those boys are bringing it. Young Ari in Lakewood on the Fan. What up, kid?
Keith, by the way, you're the best show. I want to say I agree on all the picks that the Giants did. I think it's really good. Also, I want to say about the Knicks. I don't know, though. I think they're going to win tomorrow, but stupid that they gave up 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. He's even good. Saying he contributed to the team.
Bro, it was all in theory. Being a Nets fan, when I saw that, and I've told this story 100 times because I told you how I was at the Subway Series. I drove back from the Subway Series. I parked here. I got the notification in my car. I'm like, oh, no way. Because Sean Marks had passed up on trading Mikal Bridges at the deadline. He passed up. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're waiting for. We'll take anything for this dude. He's not it. But for the Knicks, he was this, like, last Infinity Stone. For the Knicks, he was this last Dragon Ball, because you were completing the quartet of the Villanova Wildcats. And then you moved on from DiVincenzo, and y'all saw DiVincenzo with the Timberwolves, and y'all saw what Ant-Man said about DiVincenzo, how Ant-Man basically said that he doesn't know what defenses they're running against him, but DiVincenzo always tells him what they're trying to do to stop him.
Yeah, and I think the Nets have 4 first-round picks here.
This Nets world will be rebuilt, and sorry, I can't even talk. I've been up since 6 in the morning. This Nets world will be rebuilt, and the Nets will be okay again, but it's not their time right now. It's the Knicks' time, and enjoy this time, because I don't know how much time they're going to have in the second round. I don't know what it's going to look like against the Celtics.
I'm predicting that the Knicks are going to win by at least 12, and Brunson's going to have at least 35.
You're expecting the Knicks to win by 12 and Brunson to have 35 points in Game 5 tonight?
Yes.
All the games have been close, though, you know? I don't know. Like, to win by 12, they would have to blow them out, and the Pistons would have to just wave the white flag and they're not going down. I'm telling you, they're not going down with a fight. Their season's on the line. They're going to be scratching and clawing.
Okay, but it's in MSG and the atmosphere is going to be crazy.
Yeah, and MSG is the only place the Pistons have won a game. And during the regular season, they won games there too.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Nah, but I'm with you. I'm with you, Ari. I think the Knicks win. I just don't see them blowing them out, and I don't think it's easy. New York, big city of dreams, but everything in New York ain't always what it seems. Like, we think it's just going to be, oh, the guard is going to be crazy. But it's like, these are professional players. They're pissed off about how the last one went. They do have Cade Cunningham. If he turns in another 30-35-point performance and they get the whistles and the bounces, I would expect them to get the whistle, you know?
But I also think he's a little overrated.
I wouldn't say he's overrated, but he's young. And, like, he's not battle-tested. And in these moments, he's coming up small, and JB is coming up big. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And it's just showing who the better player in the series obviously is and the better player overall. There was some stats. I got to go find it on Twitter while I look for it now.
Also, the Yankees are just hitting like crazy.
Yeah, but Judge can't do it alone. Judge is Judge. Judge is going to be Judge, especially in the regular season. But he can't do it alone.
Right. Okay, have a good night.
Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Yeah, we're going to hit the Shedeur Sanders conversation soon. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm going to hit it because I got to hit it. You got to hear my take on it. Or maybe you don't care to hear my take on it. But I just feel like I have a unique approach to this whole thing. Obviously, a different perspective. Not just being black, but being a former quarterback. Also being a fan of Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders. Also having black friends and relatives that are in the quote-unquote black community and having these conversations all weekend where people come to me with things as someone that they feel has more knowledge, and I've done my best to educate people like my mom and friends and cousins on things. And, yeah, we'll get to that conversation. 888-808-1019. I still want to stick with the Giants and the Knicks. I already talked about Cam Scatabo. It was Brian Baldinger who's like, they're going to be in MetLife Stadium saying boo. And I'm like, nah, not boo. Not boo. It's got to be scat. Because boo, the Bronx cheer, there's too many people getting booed around here. But I just think this kid, the way that he runs the ball, MetLife Stadium, if you've ever been in there when, like, you know, years ago when the Giants were better, or, you know, just any moment when that place gets rocking and you can hear the crowd roar build, you need big plays. Malik Nabers had a few, but like Cam Scatabu is a guy that once he breaks through that line of scrimmage and runs over a linebacker and puts a step on the safety and he's off to the races. He's not the fastest guy, but he's got those plays that make people kind of go from, oh. 888-808-1019. Mark is in Brooklyn next on the Fan. Hello, Mark.
Going on, Keith. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Let me say, I'm just very, very impressed how Coach Tibbs handled it down the stretch over there in game four, giving it to Cat, not so much the heavy load on Brunson.
Yeah, had to. I mean, Brunson wasn't in the game for a little while, and I was a little worried. I'm like, what's going on here? I'm like, is he out the rest of the game? Are they resting him? What are they doing? Like, but, you know,
yeah. It
was a look, too, where I was like, in my head watching the game, I'm like, yo, if you're trying to go to the hole and it's not working, if you're trying to go to the rack and they keep wrestling you, fouling you, it's not getting called, shoot the J, shoot the three, shoot it. And, man, once he got his touch, once he started seeing the ball go through the hoop, he was clutch at the end. It was exciting. It was one of the more exciting. It's been the best series in this first round.
Yeah, for sure. It's the most physical series. You have the refs giving you, letting them play. It's like the old-time NBA. It's awesome.
Right, and like, I mean, we're far from the old-time NBA, but like, hey.
Yeah, sure.
That's why they couldn't cry about the last play. Because, you know, they let them play.
Absolutely not.
So it's like, you in that moment, you can't call that a foul because You owe them a bunch of fouls. Oh, here's the stat from Tommy Beer. In the 12 clutch minutes played thus far in the Knicks-Pistons series, Karl Anthony Towns is 4 of 4 from the floor, 2 of 2 from the three-point range, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Pretty good. For all the people that like were bugging out over the first loss, that stuff doesn't matter.
He showed up.
Yeah, and he's gonna because he's a pro and he's a top pick. And it's just like, it's a series. You got to give it time. I remember the first game they lost, people were like, oh, he didn't take a shot. Well, he didn't have the ball. And he's not calling off JB. And he even gives Brunson the love. He's like, I'm just pulling my best JB, my best Jalen Brunson impression. Sure. Like, I'm trying to be as clutch as he's been every time for us down the stretch when it's my turn. And he was. That was his turn. I don't know if Mikal Bridges will ever get a turn. And I said it. The first game they lost when Bridges got to shoot all them shots, I think he missed two threes and he tried to go for a reverse layup that didn't go. I'm like, it shouldn't be Bridges. It's JB or Cat. Those two shooting the ball unless Josh Hart is wide open for a layup or even Hart. How many points did he have? He had like 13 points or something. Like him, like when they leave him wide open for three, he's got to shoot it. Whether it goes in or not doesn't matter.
Yeah, he has to have more confidence for sure. But let me say this. Cat shots weren't the greatest shots. If he would have missed them, we would have got some hate.
It's a make or miss league. That's what they say, Mark.
I'm saying
it's a make or miss league. He made the shots. They won by four. They won by one, 94-93. Josh Hart had 14.
Okay, fine. Yes, sure. Josh Hart. He's the grit of the team. Yo. A lot of people in the regular season are saying, where's the grit? Where's the last year's grit? And they don't have it this year. That's not the problem in the playoffs.
This is New York. Everybody is so hyperbolic. And you ever hear of in a New York minute, everything is microwaved. Everything has to happen fast. Yeah. And so we watch them lose one game in the series.
And we get all hyped.
They're not tough enough. This team doesn't have the grit. We're missing last year's team. Cat isn't clutch. JB is hurt. He's compromised. Tibbs is going to be fired. How can he not draw up a play for them at the end of the game?
Yeah, for sure.
Mikey.
All right. On to the.
Thanks for the call, Mark. It sounded like you were saying on to, but it sounded like someone in the distance was saying something. And either way, we got a break. So 888-808-1019. I spoke on the Giants draft. You know, they also have that kid that was like doing his own tattoos and Marcus Bowe from Purdue to, you know, add to the offensive line and Corey Black, the cornerback from Oklahoma State. Good draft. But really, it's the first four picks for me and where they got those players. I think those are players that could all be Pro Bowlers over the, you know, rest of this decade through the next 5 years of the 2020s. 888-808-1019. We'll sprinkle in some Jets conversation. And, of course, I'll give you my full thoughts on Shedeur Sanders. No, I don't think it was collusion. I don't think it was a Colin Kaepernick decision. I don't think it was racism the way people, you know, want to paint it as racism. But I don't think you can take race out of it completely. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
And we're back. I was just listening to Mel Kiper yell. Was Mel Kiper on Dion's payroll? I can't even believe it. I can't believe it. Mel Kiper was going in like he worked for Primetime. 888-808-1019. You know, the funniest thing that came out of all of this was like me thinking about Jax Olbrich and Brick Johnson getting drunk together at some point last year and hanging out talking about how terrible the Jets are. Probably burned one and played Madden. Took a couple of shots, talked about how the Jets didn't stand any chance. Woody Johnson's kid and Jeff Olbrich's kid. Jeff Olbrich's kid I'd never heard of, but of course we all know him now. How dumb are these kids? We used to prank call people all the time. I used to get prank calls on Friday nights going into a big game, Saturday game, right? You get a prank call from somebody. And prank calls before the draft didn't start with Shedeur Sanders, but Shedeur vlogs everything. You've heard Tiki Barber call Shedeur Sanders or the Sanders family the Kardashians of the football world. They record everything. Bucky, Deion Sanders Jr., the oldest one, his older brother, he's got that camera running at all time. He runs Well Off Forever Media. That's what Bucky does. Bucky played at SMU, didn't make it in the NFL. I don't think he was drafted either. But anyway, we're about to unpack the Shedeur conversation, but I'd rather get to some calls because, like, honestly, it's tired, bro. It's played out. You've heard all these think pieces and everything around it. What I will say before we get into it, and I will unpack all of it, all the layers of it. What I will say before we get into it is this was the NFL script writers at work again. What a sensational film over the weekend. We've never seen a draft this compelling with a storyline that actually kept us locked in. Friday, Saturday. Obviously, the draft was Thursday, but this kept people talking about the... Come on, yo. And it pulled so many people in. And then eventually it happened. And the way it happened, I just was like, that's kind of weird. But like the TV ratings are completely up. The NFL is king. I clipped this in my notes. The NFL is king. 13.6 million average viewers for round one of the draft. The peak average viewers for the NBA finals last year was 12.2. And then the sea of people that you saw out there in Green Bay, I remember thinking, who wants to go to Wisconsin? Who the hell wants to go to Green Bay? Well, out there in the Midwest, a lot of them can get there. There were hundreds of thousands of people. It was way more than they even expected. So this was a success. And none of this hurt Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders is the most popular player in this draft by far. He's got the most followers. He made $6 million in NIL. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Let's keep talking about the Jets soon. Because I like what they did quietly again. And, you know, I think I sparked up a couple calls about the Giants in their draft. Let's go to Russ in Norwalk, Connecticut. Russ, you're on the Fan.
Keith, thanks for taking my call. And, you know, Shedeur, you know, just real quick on him. I'm going to talk about the Giants, but just real quick. You know, he does lose a lot of money not being a first-round pick. So I take umbrage to that. I mean, he has talent, clearly, to be.
That was intentional, you know? I'm not investing money in this kid that's coming in flashing his diamonds. I'm not investing money in this kid that thinks he's already bigger than my franchise. If you want to change the program, if you don't want to change the program, come, don't get me. You told franchises don't get me. Your dad said that he was going to maneuver his way to get you in the right spot, and everybody passed on you multiple times.
And even the Browns, they took another quarterback before they took Shedeur.
They took Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel's not better than Shedeur Sanders. They had to double back. They had to spin the block and get him because he kept free-falling. The entire league was saying, we don't need you. You need us. I'm going to talk about it.
I know. I want to just mention about the Giants. I'm a longtime Giants ticket holder. Last year was the first year I didn't even bother going to a game. They lost 10 straight at home. Had they lost the 11th game at home or 11th straight game, they would have had Cam Ward potentially as their quarterback, but they didn't tank, and they won the game, and now they got Abdul Carter, which probably might be better than getting Cam Ward, in my opinion. I think he's the difference maker on defense. And as you know, defense wins championships. The chutzpah on Abdul Carter to ask for LP, that's a little strange. And then, of course, they get their quarterback. Dable gets his quarterback. So now what I'm trying to get at is, all the excuses now for this team and this head coach and this coaching staff are now out of the way. I expect them to compete for a playoff spot this season, Keith. I really do. And if they don't, I think they need to bring in another head coach that could get them, that knows how to win football games and can coach the entire team, not just the quarterback, not just the offense, but the entire team. And I think if Dable were smart, he'd decide to be the head coach and give the offensive coordinator and play calling to Kafka or to someone else on the staff.
Oh, yeah. I think he learned from last year. I don't expect to see him trying to call the plays this year.
Well,
he's got quarterbacks this year that are NFL quarterbacks. Shouldn't be that much of a struggle for Kafka to be upstairs calling the plays. They got it in their helmets.
Not only that, he can't make the excuse, well, you know, the players are open. He can't play Daniel Jones anymore.
Yep.
So my point is, in spite of the tougher schedule, all that nonsense, the team is better off both on defense and on offense. And I'm really excited about the running back, the kid from Arizona State that you mentioned. I think he's going to be a special player for the Giants, both with his personality and what he's going to bring. I think that the players are going to save Dable's job this year. That's what's going to happen, I think.
Yeah, they're probably going to play over their expectations. Thanks for the call, Russ. 888-808-1019. They have to. You could argue on paper that this team is better than the team that Dable and Shane inherited from Gettleman. And what did they do with that team the first year? They got to the playoffs. They won a playoff game. The NFL is unpredictable. That's why we watch it. That's why we're fiends for it. That's why fans of all 32 teams showed up to Green Bay. That's why fans of all 32 teams had hope and couldn't wait to see who they did. There's a lot of NFL fans. They don't watch college at all. They don't know these kids. They haven't seen these kids. And they don't know, but they're excited because they're like, hey, it's new talent. It's just hope going into the next year that, like, maybe one of these guys can help score touchdowns or make some tackles, and the team got better. The draft is a competition. I say that so much, and don't let that go over your head, because as people are trying to say that the NFL is colluding against Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders, I just can't get jiggy with that, bro. I can't. It is not a Colin Kaepernick situation. And, like, the further we get away from the Colin Kaepernick situation, how ridiculous is the Colin Kaepernick situation? It's so far in the rear view now, but we can kind of look back at it, and I hope we can laugh. I hope you can laugh at all of this. This is entertainment. Shedeur Sanders didn't get hurt. He's fine. His pockets got hurt a little bit, but you know what? Maybe his ego got hurt a little bit, which you needed that. He needed to be humbled. The chain that he was wearing around his neck on draft night with all those people around, and then the legendary chair and all this hype around him. You saw the NFL collectively say, you've got a lot of power. You've got a lot of money. Your power and money doesn't work here, doesn't do anything here. You're powerless. You need us. We don't need you. You showed up to meetings and you were disinterested. You showed up to meetings and you were unprepared. You showed up to meetings and you overplayed your hand. If there's any take that you take away from Keith McPherson talking about Shedeur Sanders, because I like Shedeur and I like Deion and I'm black. So the amount of black people that all of a sudden were watching Colorado football games, right? Because they came from a HBCU, they came from Jackson State. But I've been following all of this the whole time. Follow me, please. Shedeur Sanders has had his dad. He is a Nepo baby. He is a coach's son. His dad got involved because he didn't like the way that his son was getting recruited out of high school. Come on, yo. Deion's got to chill out. And like, it's good, right? Because in the black community, we want to see strong black fathers like LeVar Ball and what he did with his kids. And I think that's why a lot of us, and I'm only speaking for me and some people I know, I could really only speak for myself. I'm sure there's some people listening, like, I don't care about them at all. But for the black community that celebrated Deion and supported Colorado football and Shedeur and Travis Hunter and even his brother Shiloh, we see Deion go from nothing to something. Must be the money. How did Deion come into the draft? Jerry curl. It looked like it's wet, but it's dry. Chains all around his neck. Say, oh, I'm going to cost the Atlanta Falcons so much, they're going to have to put me on layaway. People saw that in the late 80s, early 90s. Coincidence that full circle, Jeff Olbrich is the defensive coordinator, hasn't even really started with the Atlanta Falcons. And the Atlanta Falcons are the ones that end up leaking the phone number of Deion's son. They drafted Deion's son 5 overall, I think, back in 89. And full circle moment. Your son is getting pranked. They're saying that it's Mickey Loomis from the New Orleans Saints. And how dumb is Jax Olbrich? He goes to Berry College. I was looking into it. Berry College in Georgia. It's a private school. I don't know what level football they play, but I think he's on the team. He's another Nepo baby coach's son. But, like, Deion got involved. Shador was going to go to Florida Atlantic. He went to Alabama. He went to, you know, Clemson, and I forget where else I saw Shador, maybe Georgia. But he wasn't getting treated like these 5-star recruits. Please follow me. There were college scouts that saw him in high school and said, he ain't a 5-star. He ain't that good. If he comes here, we're not promising him anything. It's going to have to be earned. Well, you know what? You can cheat the system when your daddy already earned it and did it and has the name. So what does Deion do? Come on, son. You're not going to one of these SEC or ACC schools that might give you a partial scholarship or bring you in as a backup. You're going to play. And I got a place where you're going to play right away. We're going to the SWAC. We're going to Jackson State University. Walter Payton's alma mater. They've been struggling. They've been struggling so much that they could use my celebrity. And they can let me do what I want because they need the injection of Prime and Prime Son. And you know what we're even going to do? We're going to get your friend Travis Hunter to not go play for Nick Saban. I was telling y'all last week, I remember Nick Saban being hot. And this is part of the reason Nick Saban started to get up out of there. Because he's like, with this NIL stuff, this is not what I want to do. But he called out Deion and they had a little back and forth. Before they were doing those insurance commercials with the duck or whatever. Is it Aflac? I don't know. But they had a little back and forth where they were, you know, going at it because Saban said that he gave him $1 million and Deion played the black card and said, I don't have to give him $1 million, right? He followed me. It's about us, baby. He came to play for a black coach who has done what he wants to do, right? Played on both sides of the ball. Bet. All right, cool. Great. HBCUs, they deserve the love. They deserve the attention. Deion went there for 2 years. I think they went 11-1. I think they lost one of the championships, but won one of the champions. Either way, regardless, they set up this HBCU for success for 2 years, but then they leave. They leave for greener pastures. They go to Colorado, where Colorado doesn't have the money to pay Deion. But because of the transfer portal, right? I always tell y'all, when I was in school, I transferred from James Madison University to Monmouth University knowing I was going to have to sit out a year. It's just what the NCAA did. If you don't transfer down a league in competition, you got to sit. So because of NIL existing in these recent years, they could do this. Because of the transfer portal and NIL, all of this became possible. None of this would have happened. Shador Sanders might not ever have even gotten close to this. There's so many guys that play in the NFL and their sons don't really make it. They play, but they don't really make it. Like I clipped in my notes. People were thinking Mike Tomlin was going to stick his neck out for Deion. People were thinking Mike Tomlin was going to stick his neck out because he's a black coach in the NFL. His son, Mike Tomlin's son, Dino Tomlin, went to Maryland. He wasn't a star, but he played a little bit. He's invited to rookie camp. Guess who he's going to rookie camp with? Shiloh Sanders in Tampa with the Bucks. Deion's other son that wasn't getting drafted anywhere. I mean, I have collected so much stuff on this, but basically where I'm at right now, Fleegs, let's play. Damian Harris spoke about this so well of where we are. This is unprecedented. It's set up for something we've never seen, and we should have known. I don't know how nobody knew. But, like, the shield is the shield, and this NIL transfer portal era is so new. We still don't know how to react to it. We still don't know how to predict things from it. We still don't know what is real and what is not. And I thought, and this is actually coming from CBS Sports, I thought Damian Harris, former running back from the Patriots, did a great job articulating what we're seeing with Shador Sanders, who made $6 million last year. Like, this kid is already rich. He grew up rich, but now he's got a bankroll of millions of dollars of his own. He's in a Gatorade commercial. Like, this guy's got, like, let's listen to Damian Harris talk about, you know, what we're seeing happening right now in real time.
And I think that this is the NFL starting to take a stand with all the changes that we are seeing in the climate of college football. These kids, they have a lot of power, and especially a kid like Shador, whose father happens to be Deion Primetime Sanders. Kids hold all of the control and all the power when it comes to college football. Whenever that starts to transcend and work its way and leak and creep into the NFL, that's when the owners are going to put their foot down. That's when the league is going to put its foot down and say, enough is enough. And I think this is the perfect example of it. And unfortunately, it does have to be Shador. We can sit here and talk about how great he is as a quarterback, how accurate he is, how he stands in the pocket and delivers the football under pressure. He does a lot of things well. But at the end of the day, this is not about Shador's play. This is about the fact that he is the most polarizing, the brightest example of what college football is becoming. And he is going to suffer because of it. He is suffering because of it, because the NFL is looking at him like he's our prime suspect of somebody we can make an example out of and send a message. And that is exactly what the NFL is doing.
Almost had to. I don't know how I didn't see this, because I'm thinking it is as simple as he's a number two ranked quarterback. He's a top 40 prospect on most people's boards. Yeah, but it's bigger than that, yo. Tyler Shuck, he doesn't come with any of that. Even a Jackson Dart, he comes through with half of that. He doesn't have the followers. He doesn't have the dad. He doesn't have the media circus around him. He doesn't have the haters. He doesn't have the cars and the fancy watches. And he doesn't come in with the arrogance. I'm going to keep talking about this for the rest of the night, and I hope that what I'm driving home for you is this is unprecedented times. Like, we've never seen this. But also, Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders, their camp, they overplayed their hand. And the NFL smacked their hand. Said, no. No, you're powerless here. You have all that power in college, which used to be amateur sports. And we understand that the amateur sports have now turned into a semi-pro league. But this is the pros. This is the big show. And yeah, you're accurate. But your talent isn't to the level where you could be so cocky and arrogant to, you know, not play at the East-West Shrine Bowl, where, like, you went to the East-West Shrine Bowl because it's close to where you live in Texas. You didn't go to Alabama to the Senior Bowl to compete. You went and you didn't compete. And part of the whole Shrine Bowl thing is you're supposed to go there and play. You big league them. And when you, like, I'm telling you, bro, I've been there in these NFL recruiting circles and college and stuff. Like, nobody is bigger. I don't care if you're the best guy. You gotta show up. You gotta be humble. You gotta be coachable. The money doesn't matter. When you step between those lines, everybody's worth the same amount. It's about what you can do or can't do. And they looked at his film, and he's not a runner. They looked at his film. He's not that big. They looked at his film. He took a ton of sacks. They looked at his film. They said they didn't beat anybody. They didn't win anything. I, as an owner, a GM, or head coach, do not have to put my job on the line for Shador Sanders. He's going to bring in a ton of media. He's cheating the system in a way. The system is set up where you're supposed to have an agent. That's what they want. That's the business of the NFL. They don't like it that Lamar Jackson and his mom did his deal. They don't want that happening. Deion is his agent. Deion told him, go in there and be cocky, be confident. You don't got to work out at the combine. Tell him, if you don't want to change the culture, don't get me. And Shador is not well-spoken enough to even articulate that stuff. It came off forced. They overplayed their hand, man. And it hurts, because I am a young black dude that was rooting for them, that wanted to see him go. He said he wanted to be picked higher than his dad, and I believe that it could happen. And this isn't a fail. It doesn't hurt them, because all it did was bring more attention to Shador Sanders. But it hurts to see all the narratives about racism and collusion and all that stuff. No, no, no. If you were following this close enough, you could see. And I've been on this radio station when there have been things that come up with race, whether it's Brian Flores or whether it's Josh Donaldson calling Tim Anderson from from the White Sox, Jackie, and it's like, bro, I if it's racism, I'll call it straight up racism. But we got to dig deeper, and sometimes people helicopter in with the race card, and they're not fans. They're not sports fans. They don't know all the information. I don't know all the information, but I know a lot of information. So what I'm trying to do is articulate it in the best way that I can. If there's anyone to blame for this fall, it is Shedeur Sanders. It is Deion Sanders. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break here. There's so much more to this story, but it's not a Colin Kaepernick thing. Shame on Stephen A. again. Shame on Stephen A. saying this is collusion. This feels Colin Kaepernick level. No, it doesn't, dude. This is a young kid. He's 23. He's entering the league, and he entered. He got in. There are kids that did not get drafted this weekend. A lot of them. This kid is extremely blessed and fortunate. And you know what? He ends up in a situation where he can win that job. We'll talk about it. There's so much more from it. But I love sports. I love the NFL. And I was riveted. I'm like, the NFL script writers have done it again. This was so compelling all weekend. No touchdowns were scored. No games kicked off. But the NFL is able to steal the show from the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and Major League Baseball. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson. I'll be right back.